The shir today was Le'ilui Nishmas of Gershon ben Rabbi Yehuda, and Shama should have an aliyah. For me, it's also an additional element to families. Rabbi Appel and our family is very, very close, and he was really a very special man, so it's really as close to be able to have said the shir Le'ilui Nishmas. Okay, we're discussing the Gemara here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis in Yevamos. So once again, the context is the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph. That's always the context until we get to the next Mishnah, which might take a little time. What?
It can't take a little time.
Yeah, of course. So again, the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph tells us that there are 15 relationships, right, which are excluded from Yibum and which also disqualify others from Yibum. Again, what that means, to remind everybody again, okay. What that means is as follows. The classical case of Yibum, as we've been discussing, is a case of a man who is married. Let's assume for the moment that this is pre-Rabbeinu Gershon. Takanan, he has more than one wife, or he doesn't have to, but he might have more than one wife. This will explain the cases of the Mishnah. So this man is married, he has three wives, let's say, and he has no children, and he dies, he leaves no heirs. So normally the din is, that's the parsha and kitetze, there's a requirement of Yibum. Yibum says that the brother, if there's a viable brother, then under these conditions he is obligated to be either b'miyabim or cholet, to yibim or chalitza, to his brother's wife. Now normally, as we know, the brother's wife is completely out of bounds. She is one of the arayos of Parshas Achrimos. A person cannot marry his brother's wife, meaning, not only while his brother is married to her, that's obvious, she's an eshes ish, but even if that marriage ended in divorce, or the brother died, but let's say he had some children or grandchildren, so the Iser of Eishes Ach would apply. And that's a severe Iser, an Iser Karetz. Nonetheless, the Torah says, if the circumstances are that he dies and he leaves no heirs, so there's a din of Yibum. So basically, the reason I'm emphasizing this again is, the mitzvah of Yibum is an exception. It overrules or overturns the Iser Kares, the Iser Erva of Eshes Ach, of the wife's brother. Now, having said that, so now we understand what the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah says, however, if she is not only your sister-in-law, meaning your brother's wife, but she also is prohibited, right, as a relationship for one of 15 other reasons, the other examples that are, right, elucidated in Parshas Achrimos. For example, let's say the candidate for Yibum is your daughter or your daughter-in-law or your mother-in-law. And how could that be? Taking our case once again, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi have three brothers. So Reuven married his niece, which halachically is allowed to do. Right, he married the daughter of Shimon. That was a legal marriage. And then Reuven dies without leaving any children. So now his brother Shimon, who is also his father-in-law, right, kind of a strange situation, but it can happen. So his brother Shimon right now stands to be miyabim, right, his wives, or one of his wives. But one of those wives is Shimon's daughter, and obviously that's an unacceptable act, that's an unacceptable yibum. So the Kiddush of the Mishnah is that if that's one of the 15. Another one of the 15s is daughter-in-law. Another one of the 15 is mother-in-law. Another one of the 15s is his aunt from his mother's side. Not from his father's side, because then his brother couldn't have married her either. Okay, so the Mishnah has 15 cases where it's possible that the brother married legally, and yet to him most of them have to do with relationships that are generated by means of his own marriage or marriages, right? Because that would explain why they didn't affect Reuven, but they do affect Shimon. Also, we want a situation where they don't affect necessarily Levi, the third brother, because that'll allow us more cases. Right, but the basic point is, if any of those 15 illicit relationships, in addition to the normally illicit but now permitted relationship of Eish HaSach, of sister-in-law, if in addition to being her sister-in-law, she's one of these other relationships, so there is no, this woman is not a candidate for Yibum or Chalitza. But not only that, but if there are multiple wives, she exempts the co-wives, right, her fellow wives or rival wives, depending on, I guess, you know, your point of view, as well. So that, if Reuven had three wives, one of whom was the daughter of Shimon, and then he died, Shimon is excluded from Yibum and Chalitza, not only from his daughter, which is obvious, but also from the two other wives of Reuven, right, by virtue of their being the co-wives of his daughter. That's called Saras Erva. Erva is the relationship in addition to Eish HaSach, which is prohibited and which excludes Yibum and Chalitza. Sara means literally bundle or rival, right? The rival wives are excluded as well. That's our mission. Okay. What we've been doing the last few weeks is we've been trying to analyze and understand this halacha, and we've suggested that there are two, broadly speaking, two perspectives that can explain it. One is, the more obvious one, the narrower one, which is that what we have here is a clash between two forces, a pressure and a counter-pressure. What do we mean by that? What we mean is, there is on the one hand the mitzvah of Yibum, l'hakim l'achid shem l'Yisrael, to guarantee his deceased brother's legacy, right? That allows us, right, to make an exception to the normal rule of Eish HaSach and to allow Yibum. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, sometimes we encounter, right, a counterforce which is not overturned, which cannot be overturned. So that, for example, the Gemara tells that asei doche los asei, the ein asei doche los asei sheyesh bo kares, meaning if you have a positive command and a negative command, the asei will overcome the lav. But if it's a lav which is so severe that it carries with it the onesh of kares, so an asei is not doche a lav sheyesh bo kares. So one way to understand the Mishnah is all these 15 cases are cases of arayos. They're all cases of kares. So given that, it's asei, yibum, versus los asei sheish bo kares, and therefore there's no yibum. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that what we have is more than that. What we're really talking about is, how do we understand the exception of Eish HaSach? What do we mean when we say that in the context of yibum, right, the Torah allows you, only in this case, to marry your sister-in-law, the wife of your brother. If we just mean that there's a mitzvah, l'hakim l'achid shem, and therefore we close our eyes, you know, as terrible as this is, right, it's justified by the benefit, meaning the halachic benefit outweighs the halachic, you know, negative in this case. If that's what we mean, then we're talking about ase, doche, los ase. But maybe what we really mean is that given the conditions that prevail, the tragic conditions that prevail, namely, this fellow's brother, right, was not able, you know, to produce any kind of continuing legacy, given the motivation of l'hakim l'achim, shem b'Yisrael, of continuing his family, instead of a rivalry and an illicit relationship, this turns into a compelling opportunity for Ishus Shel Kedusha. In which case, that makes sense if you're talking about Eish HaSach. But if at the same time she's your daughter, or your daughter-in-law, right, or the other sister-in-law, namely your wife's sister, and so on, or your mother-in-law, then there's no way that that is in any way reformulated, right, or reconstituted by virtue of Yibum. Now, to say that my sister-in-law is normally a terrible betrayal of my brother, except that if he dies without heirs, then it's the greatest chesed that I can do for him, that makes a great deal of sense. But if there's an additional relationship which has nothing to do with my deceased brother, right, that relationship, you know, the only way to justify overcoming that relationship is to say Yibum, Hakim Lach of Shame, is such a strong pressure that it, just as it overrides Eish HaSach, maybe it will override two Erevahs, three Erevahs, etc. But if you're trying to justify this on the basis of Kiddushas Ishus Shalibum, saying, given this condition, given this context, what was a breach of Kiddusha is in fact now a fulfillment of Kiddusha, that can only be an Eshesach. That can't be in anything more. Those are the two perspectives. Now these two perspectives are highlighted very strongly in the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis. This is what we were reading last week. I want to just run over a little part of it quickly and continue to where we left off. The Gemara says, let's run through the Shakla Vitaria quickly. The Gemara says on the top here, 3, 6, 7 lines down, Minan immediately the last word on the line. I think it's 7. Yeah. If you go 7 lines down on Gimel Amud Beis, the last word is it isn't really a word, it's an acronym. Minahan Imili. Right? How do we know the din? Which din? So again, last week we discussed this very carefully. Now I'm just going to run through it because we did it mostly last week. Rashi explains Minahan Imili refers to 3 different chidushim of the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us 3 things. Minahan Imili, Rashi says, the erva, the tsarasa, the tsaras sarasa liolam pturas. How do you know that what? If you encounter, in addition to Eshesach, one of these other 15 relationships, that there's no Yibum V'Chalitza, how do you know that not only is there no Yibum V'Chalitza with that candidate, but that by virtue of her presence in the pool of candidates, all the candidates are excluded? How do you know that that's true, even if it's Tsaras Tsara, right? The co-wife of the co-wife, which we discussed, that's Lady's part. The answer is, we know it from the following source. The Tanur Rabbanan. Isha elacho salosikach litzror, legalos ervasa aleha bechayel. That's a pasuk in Parshas Achleibos, which says that isha elacho, so you can't be involved with a woman and her sister at the same time. If you marry a woman, then her sister is excluded to you. But then it has extra words, litzror, which is a strange word, right, to bundle, we don't know what it means here. Legalos ervasa aleha, right, and the word bechayeha. What's the aleha? Why not to say legalos erbasa? Right. So the Gemara says aleha ma talmidoma. Why the extra? Why the superfluous word aleha? So the Gemara says l'fisha ne'amar. It's supposed to echo in our mind when we read the psukim in Achrimos. We're supposed to remember the same phrase aleha in Parshas Kiseitze. And when we read Kiteitze, we're supposed to remember that strange phrase aleha. Right, just to ring in our ear and say, where did we hear that before? Right, there's something unique here. And it's supposed to remind us of Achrimos. In what way? Because the Torah says, Yavama, Yavo, Aleha. That's the Parsha of Yibum. Shomea, Niafi, Lebakas, Mikala, Rais, Amuras, Batara, Kasim, Medaber. I might think that when the Torah says, Yavama, I mean, you should do the mitzvah of Yibum, despite the fact that she is normally forbidden to you as the wife of your brother, is Eshesach. So I might think, even if there's some other illicit relationship, it doesn't matter, because Yibum is a juggernaut, right? Yibum is rewriting the rules of Ishus. Yibum is allowing you to marry an Eshesach, so Yibum will allow you, it's such an imperative, it will allow you to marry another illicit relation as well. The answer is Ne'emar Kan, therefore the Torah says the word Aleha, to put these two things together, in our mind. Ne'emar kan aleha, ne'emar lahalan aleha. It's a strange, you know, usage in both cases. The intention is that you read one in context of the other. Ma lahalan b'makom mitzvah. The aleha of Parshas Kiseitze in Yibum is talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. Afkan, so too in Achrimos, when we're talking about arayos that are prohibited under all conditions, the mokom mitzvah, the aleha, means even if it's an aleha situation, i.e. a yibum situation, you still cannot marry achos isha, the sister of your wife. And as I tried to explain last week, I have a personal theory here, and that is that it's no coincidence that we're dealing with the two sisters-in-law. There are two sisters-in-law, right? One is the wife of your brother, that's the one that's permitted by Yibum, and the other one is the sister of your wife, Achos Isha. So is it just, either it's a coincidence or it's not, I'm suggesting it's not, that the Torah's counterpoint, the one that shows you that this is limited to Achos Isha, doesn't apply to other Erevas, is Dafka, the foil of the one that's closest to it. I think it's a certain kind of interesting symmetry. The Amrachmana lo sikach. Then the Gemara says, "Eini alehi sarasa minai," and that teaches us that she is excluded. Meaning, Achos Isha can never be a yibam? How do we know that if there's more than one wife, by virtue of the fact that she's one of the wives, that it disqualifies the other co-wives as well? Talmud Lomar Litzor, that's what that other extra word is. Like, it's very humbling and inspiring, right? The, you know, the way Chazal, Darshan, you know, the psukim, in a way that, you know, really makes each word count and highlights certain special features into relationships. So, Litzror, the bundling, the idea of bundling is, meaning, if there's an Achos Isha in the group, the whole group is disqualified. And we discuss this, we'll go back to it, the idea of Tsaras Erva is a debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in the Mishnah later on in Gimel and Aleph, because Beis Shammai thinks the only person who is excluded is the woman. Why should her co-wives be excluded? He's not related to the co-wives, right? So this idea of Tsror, as we discussed it a lot last week, I'm going to get back to it this week because you'll see it'll play a pivotal role as we go forward. So that's what Tsror. Then there's a Girsa question. You see the little Aleph. If you look at the Hagos HaGra, the Gra says don't read the next line. The next line is a mistake. Rashi obviously did have the next line, because Rashi, as we mentioned earlier, when he says Minoni Mili, how do you know this dinim? Says how do you know three things in the Mishnah, right? Erva's excluded, Saras Erva's excluded, and Saras Sara Atzof Olam. Saras Atzof Olam, I don't want to get back to right now, but that's the case that happens if there are three brothers. Right? Let's say, in other words, Reuven dies and leaves three wives, one of whom is the daughter of Shimon. Shimon, his brother, cannot do Yibam with any of the wives because his daughter's in the mix. But Levi, the third brother, right? He's not excluded. So let's say he marries not the daughter of Shimon, but he marries one of the other wives. But he himself had a wife before that. So now he has two wives, his previous wife, and his Yibama wife, the Yibama, meaning the sister-in-law, the wife of Reuben, but not the daughter of Shimon. Ah. Then poor Levi, because it's a family that is hit by tragedy. So poor Levi also dies, also leaves no children. We're back to Shimon. And Shimon now faces two candidates for the Yibum of Levi. Forget about Reuben. None of them are his daughters, but one of them was previously the co-wife of his daughter. That's called Tsaras Tsara. So according to Rashi, this next line in the Gemara says, Ainli Ela Tsarasa. Tsaras Tsarasa, this continued like identification, this stigma, anybody who's connected, you know, with the Erva, does it go even that far? Talmud Lomar Litzror V'lo Latzur. Okay. The Gra says, and the Ramban says, or Rabbeinu Tam says, if you look at it very quickly here, says the Einel and Tzarasa, Tzarasa Minayim, Tavul is the Aleph for the Gra. It says Chen Kosla the Sefer Yashu Rabbeinu Tam of the Chiddush Ramban Lo Garasla. Zeshom Rashi the Kamanu Gimel Amin Aleph Dimasa Minani Mili, etc. Meaning they think this is an interesting question, very interesting question. I'll get back to it. That it's once you know the din of Tzaras Erva, once you know that not only is the one of the arayos, one of the illicit relationships in the Mishnah, can never be a Yibum candidate. If you also know that that's true not only for her, but for her co-wives, do you need another limud to extend the idea to Tsaras Tsara, to the co-wives of the co-wives? Or is the principle the same principle? Once you know one, you know the other, because it's just you're just applying the same idea. You don't need a separate limud. It's obvious. It's just logical. That very much depends on how you understand how Tzara works is what we spoke about last week, and what I'm going to get back to in a couple of minutes. But then the Gemara says, "Eli ala achos isha shar rayos minayin." This goes back to my point of before. The Torah singles out, according to the Gemara, achos isha as the counterweight to eshes, the two sisters-in-law. But how do you know which one is paradigmatic, right, of other arayos? We know that Eishes Ach is permissible b'mokom Yibum. We now know that Achos Isha is disqualified for Yibum. But what about the other 14 cases in the Mishnah? How do you know whether to follow the model of Achos Isha? They're both in Parshas Arayos. How do you know to follow them? Maybe Achos Isha is unique. So the Gemara says, Omrit ma Achos Isha miyuchedes shiherba v'chiyavan alzdona karis v'ashigas achatas v'yasura liyabam. Right? What are the chief characteristics of Achos Isha? It's that she is an erba, that if you are involved with her, it incurs the severe onesh of kares, right? Or if it's a mistake, it's chatos, and that it doesn't therefore she's forbidden to Yavam. Of course, she hears about the Chayav and Ozgon of Kar as far as she goes to Chatos Asur Liyam. This is Gemara's way of saying, listen, there's nothing unique about Achos Isha. If anything, Yerushalmi says, Kabachomer me Achos Isha. Because not only is Achos Isha, in a certain sense, is a more kal, right? It's a less intense erva. Why? Because even though you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister, even after a divorce. However, unlike most arayos, you are allowed to marry your wife's sister after she dies. That's very rare among the cases in Parshas Arayos. So there's a kula in Achos Isha. So you might think, well, Achos Isha is one of the lighter ervas, yet it's excluded from Yibum. Certainly the more placable ervas are going to be excluded from Yibum. And that's actually a line in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi actually says it. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Eini Elohein, Tsarosein Minayan. How do you know about the Tsaros of the other erva? We discussed this last week. Omer Smachos Isha Miuchedes Sheyerva V'chayavin Azdona Kares V'ashigigasa Chatos V'asura L'yabam V'tsarasa Asura. That's a long sentence. You know, you have to take it in one breath. Of kol shehi erva v'chayavin ozdona kar esol shigot sachatos v'asura liyavam tsarasa asura. Meaning, the reason I'm able to read it quickly, all the Gemara is saying is, whatever we said about Achos Isha is a good model for the others. Because it isn't just the case, it's the characteristics underlying the case. Mikan amru, from here we learned, mikan v'chachamim chamesha serinashim, the 15 women counted in that Mishnah, potros toroseim, they exempt not only themselves, but their co-wives, the tzoros toroseim, and achalitum leibum ad sofo. Fine. Gemara says, yachas shani marbiav sheish arayos chamuros me'elu, sheyut toroseim ad suros. I might have thought the Mishnah in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph has six other examples of arayos, which are chamur, because it's never even a case of ibum, because they're all relatives on the father's side. And we, as we know, Yibum depends on brothers from the father. So the point is, you can never have Yibum in such a case, because any time you have a relative who constitutes an illicit relationship to the Yibum from the father's side, that it was also an illicit relationship to the deceased brother. So obviously you just can't ever have Yibum. So the Gemara says, Omer Smachos Isha Miuchedes Sheyerva V'Chayavin Ozdona Kares Al Shigas Achatos V'Efshon Nosin Achim. You were talking about cases where there's a possibility that this woman could be involved with a brother from the father, like, for example, what I said before, my daughter, my mother-in-law, my daughter-in-law, right? All of these people could, in theory, be married to my brother, right? After divorces or after deaths, meaning because they're related to me through marriage, therefore they're not necessarily organically related to my brother. Right. There's a possibility of marrying a brother. Yatsu, that excludes sheish arayos kamuros me'elu, the six more chomor arayos. You can see them if you want. I hear on the Mishnah very quickly on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. You'll see they're all related to the father. Right, the Mishnah says here on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Everybody have that? Sheish arayos. This is really the next Mishnah after our Mishnah. Sheish arayos kamuros me'elu. Because these arayos can only get married to other people. They can't get married to a brother, right? And therefore, tsaroseyen mutaros, as we'll explain. What are they? Emo, right? His mother. Now, his mother, right, was the emo and eshes aved. His mother and the wife of his father, right, are automatically excluded for his brother. Because even if it's his brother from another mother, right, it's still the wife of his father. And the wife of the father, meaning a step-mother, is always prohibited. Or Achos Aviv, right, his aunt from his father's side. Achoso Me'aviv, his sister from his father's side. Right, Eshes Achei Aviv, his aunt, meaning the wife of his uncle from his father's side, Eshes Ahe Aviv. I'm sorry, Eshes Achiv Ne'aviv, right? All these are examples of the Sheish Arayas Chaburas Mehen, because they're excluded. A brother can never marry such a person either. Anyways, but so then the Gemara says that's what it means. Hold the Yeshem Nasid Achim Tzosein Butaros Shein Sara Ella Me'ach. Okay, now we get to the punchline that we're interested in for tonight. Azhara Shamanu Onish Minayim. Right? How do you know that if you're involved in these cases, there's a punishment? Amar Kra Ki Kol Isha Sher Yaseh Mikol HaToeivos VeGom. Fine. So the Gemara says, listen, what did we just do? We found a source to teach us that any of these 15 women is excluded as a candidate for Yibum, and that also includes Tzaros and Tzaros Tzaros. Fine. The Gemara says, do we really, we spent almost an amud doing this, right? Was it worth the effort? Meaning, do we need a source? Isn't there a much more basic reason why the 15 cases of the Mishnah should be excluded, me'ibum, at least if we're talking about their own exclusion? What do we mean? Tama dekasav rachmana aleha. It's only because the Torah wrote aleha and had this limud. Halav achi. But if not for that, habamina, I would have said, achos isha miyavemes. You would have thought that your wife's sister, right, could be a candidate for Yibum? My taima, what would be the justification for that? Dominan asiase bedachi losase. Because of the general rule that we have in Kol Torah Kula, that a ase can override a losase, right? That's the reason. But Eimer Dominan asiase bedachi losase, losase greida. Losase sheyesh bakares midachi. This rule that an ase overrides a losase, right? If you have a tzitzis, you know, a mitzvah of tzitzis overrides a shaktas, right? Yibum is a problem. We'll get to that. But you know, the Gemara has a bunch of other cases of ase doka losase. So when does that rule apply? When the ase is a regular ase and the lav is a regular lav. But if the lav is a severe lav reflected by onesh kares, the death penalty, right? So the rule of ase doka losase doesn't apply. Now, in the case of the 15 arayos of Parshas Achrimos, we're dealing with chayvei krisus. So even without the pasuk of aleha, right? Yavama yavo aleha, aleha of achos isha and Parshas Achrimos, beautiful limud, but what do we need it for? Right, the rules of Kol Torah Kula that determine what happens whenever you have a clash between one halachic factor and another halachic factor, in this case, establish quite clearly that there's no Yibum in the 15 cases in the Mishnah. So it would seem that the drasha that we developed, you know, this whole Amud, Aleha, is superfluous. That's the Gemara's question. It's a very strong question. Now, the truth is the question itself is a little bit problematic. And this is what I meant when I said that this kind of crystallizes the issue that we've been discussing. Because we basically have been talking about two ways to look at the din of the Mishnah. One way is exactly what the Gemara just said, what I call the narrower way, the pressure-counter-pressure model, which is, there's a mitzvah of Yibum, and we want to know how far can we push that mitzvah in the face of how much resistance can it overcome, halachic resistance can it overcome. Well, we know that it overcomes the din of Eishes Ach, that's what Yibum is. Right? What about other arayos? So the answer is, ase docha los ase. Ve'en ase docha los ase sheyesh bakaris. That's one perspective. The other perspective we were looking at was that it isn't an issue of clash of powerful, you know, pressures and counter-pressures, forces and counter-forces. The real issue is that what we're trying to figure out here is that Yibum shouldn't be trampling on the rules of Ishus. Right? Yibum should be an expression of Kedushas Ishus. And that can only be if the candidates for Yibum, notwithstanding the normal rule that Eshesach is an Arayos, right, is an appropriate one. So if we might make the argument, right, that given the context of Lahakim La'achiv Shem B'Yisrael, of this, you know, noble cause, you know, to secure the legacy, to secure the future of this brother, who doesn't leave any heirs, that determines that continuing his marriage is a noble act, it's an act of Kedusha, but not the Malka Merva. So one of the things that we've been doing the last three or four shiurim is examining cases, for example, where we have objectionable candidates without a Chiyuv Karis. Right? We talked about Sota, right, a woman who betrays her husband, and before there's a divorce, he dies, there are no children. Is a sota a proper candidate for Yibum? Right, that's the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that sota and tzara sota are excluded from Yibum. Why? Because tuma ksivde karayos. Even though there's no kares, there's only a lot. The rules of Aseh Dochalosa say should allow you to do Yibum, should demand that you do Yibum in the case of Sota. But there's a special identification of Tzara with Erba, I'm sorry, of Sota with Erba, which excludes it even though there's no Karis. Right? So we've isolated.
The husband alone can't live with
her. What?
The husband alone can't live with her.
Right, but it's only Chayvei Lavin.
I understand.
Yeah. So at least need Chalitza. They say you don't, no Yibum, no Chalitza, right, and even the Tzaros. So it's tricky. Not everybody agrees. That's what Rav Yehuda Marav says on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. But that's what's referred to a little bit on the top of the page. Limutei Durav, Limutei Duravasi. But the point is that we have cases of Erba, Beli, Kares. We have cases of Kares, Beli Erba. That's also controversial. Nida, that was Artosis. We have cases of No Tzvisas Kiddushin, right? Possibly Erba, but no kares. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, right, that Chai de Lavin, we don't pask in this way, but Rabbi Akiva holds that Chai de Lavin, there's no Tisus Kedushin, and Bonel Mamzerim. So the Tosis asks on Tesla and Aleph, why is there no Yibam according to Rabbi Akiva? Right? Ase do chelos ase. So the point is, just one more second, if we've been investigating ways to isolate these two factors, trying to demonstrate that there are really two themes here, one is the pressure-counter-pressure model, the other is the idea of finding an appropriate circumstances, right, which justifies Kedushas Ishus of Yibum, where Yibum isn't trampling on the Dinam of Ishus, but is fulfilling under very trying circumstances exactly those rules. It isn't an exception, it's an exception that proves the rule rather than an exception to the rule. So if we know that's true, so when the Gemara here comes along and says, what do you need Aleha? Just learn it out from Asado Kalos Asesheish Bakares. It makes you wonder whether we've been wasting our time. Right? But since it's impossible that we've been wasting our time, right? So there has to be, you know, something else going on here. And that's what I'm going to try to show in the next couple of minutes. Yeah.
When you say Sota, Sota at what point?
Sota Vadai. There are really two Gemaras. I just don't want to get into it so much now. When the Gemara speaks on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, that line in the Gemara, if you want to look at it for very, very, you know, for a second, this is an important line. It's Omer Av Yud Amarav. It's a little bit more than halfway down on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. Yud Aleph, 11a. Om Rav Yudam Arav. You see the little Aleph of the, in the beginning of the line is an Aleph of the, probably Hagoy Sabach. So it's right, that's what I'm getting to. Om Rav Yudam Arav. Tzara Sota Asura. Tuma Ksivba Karayos. That's talking about a Vadai, what we call a Vadai Sota. Vadai Sota means there are witnesses that she betrayed her husband. Then when the Gemara at the bottom, the Gemara, if you look at the bottom of the page, it says the three lines from the bottom of the page, Masad Rabashi, everybody have that? Niknasa imo liseser, that's what we normally call sota, it's really suffix sota, which is, he warned his wife, he said, I suspect that you're being unfaithful to me. So, you know, I'm warning you now, you know, not to go into any secluded place, right, with someone else. So nikasa imalase, so vishasa imo kebetuma, she did, right? Asura lebesa, asura lecho betruma. That's called suffix sota. Because we don't know 100% that she betrayed him. We just know that there's a great likelihood that she did, because she had already been warned, and she defied the warnings. The Emes Chalets, as Hidden Gemara says, it's really a quotation of Mishnah. This is the first Mishnah in Sota, Beis Amid Aleph. So the Emes Chalets below Misyavemes. That's not what the Mishnah, that's what we said before we said, no Chalitza, no Yibam, no Tzara, right? So the Gemara says, Amalach Rav, Amina Lachana Sota Vadai, Ma'amas Li At, Sota Safek. The Gemara says, don't ask me questions from Rav Yudim Arav to the Mishnah and Sota. Rav Yudim Arav's in is Sota Badai, where there were witnesses that she betrayed him. There's no question. That's where we say, no Yibum, no Chalitza, no Tzaros. The Mishnah and Sota is the normal case of Sota, where we have the Safek. That's where you have the Hashkas Nei Sota, but you give her the drink, and, you know, the specially prepared water with the... I don't want to go into the... Some people are learning Sota on Tuesday night, so we'll leave that for the Tuesday night share. Okay. Anyways, so the point is that there's no kares in Sota. The question is whether it's a violation of an assay or a lav, right? But not more than a lav. There's no kares. And yet the Gemara says there's no Yibum. Now, not everyone passes like Rabbi Yudam Rav, I should tell you. Most people do. The Rambam does, Rashi does, Tosfos does, the Ramban does, the Rajba does, the Ritva does. Keep going. Who doesn't, you might say? The Ravid doesn't. The Ravid, not in his parish on the Rambam, but the Ravid in his Kasav Shom, the Ravid wrote a work on the Rit. And in that work, the Ravid says he thinks that there's a... Whatever, there are two ways to read the Ravid. Whatever. The Ravid's view is that Lahalacha, even a Sota Vadai, there is Chalitza, and there's no Pturi Tzara, there's just no Yibum. But he treats Vadai Sota like Safek Sota. That's the Ravid's view. But, I'm sorry? Well, if you have Asra and everything else in HSH. Right, but that's aside the point. I'm talking about going forward, I'm not talking about for the past. I'm talking about the prohibition of remaining with her husband. That, I'm talking about that Isser. If she was in violation of Eish HaSish, that's a capital crime.
Right.
And if there's Hasra and Adam for that, then that's a different story. But, you know, there have to have been Hasra and all that.
No, it would be the equivalent of a lapse.
No. But what we're talking about is her prohibition to her husband going forward. The din of Sota is Asura Labala Ulaboala. That's not the violation of HSH. Talk to her husband.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about
husband says everything is forgiven.
I'm calling Lugabe
Yibo. Right, no, but.
Why would I have.
For whatever reason, she's not getting capital.
Maybe
she didn't get Hasra, whatever it is. Right?
I'm trying to distinguish between the actual fact where she would get. And the
Chomer HaIsur. No, but the Chomer HaIsur we're talking about, the remarkable thing in the case of Yibum is that she had no relationship to the Yavam. The Yavam is her brother-in-law. She didn't betray him, she betrayed his brother. Right? So there's not even an Isur to the Yavam. There was an Isur to the Baal, but since the Yibum in some sense is a continuation of the Ishus of the Baal, and he couldn't live with her. Let's say he's a forgiving fellow, and he says, you know, all is forgiven. So that, you know, the halacha says it doesn't matter. There's an iser, meaning a marriage is a sacred thing, and the betrayal of a marriage is you know, irreparably you know, damages the marriage. So it's not a question of saying, you know, again, if it's known, right? If it's proven. So that's the Isur Sota, that's the Isur Lav. The question is it only an Asay or is it a Lav? I mean, for him to continue to live with her in the future. Now that, it's that Isur, that, and that's a step two, because let's say there's an Isur Lav to the Baal. What's up to the Yavam? Well, the Yavam is her brother-in-law. He might not be happy with her. Right? But he is, he hasn't had any, she didn't betray him. Nonetheless, there's a certain transference here. That's an amazing thing. We find it also, by the way, by Masu Grushaso, but not to the point of no Tzara, no Chalitza. Masu Grushaso is the following case. Let's say a person is married, not a Kohen, a non-Kohen. Yisrael, they're married and they get divorced. Right? He's allowed to remarry her unless she was married in the intervening period. And if she was, that's called Natsu Grushasa. And he's not allowed to... We discussed this a lot a couple of years ago. We learned Gittin. We started with this in the introduction. There's some really interesting things about Yibum. So, actually, the Gemara says that Masir Grushaso is a prohibition that disqualifies Yibum as well. In other words, if she was married and got divorced, married someone else, her husband took her back illegally, I mean against the halakha, but the kedusha is tofes because it's only chayvei ra'avin. So now he's married to her. She's married to him again. Right? Then he dies, leaving no children. So now she's a Masu Grushaso, and she's a candidate for Yibum. Right? So the Gemara says there's no Yibum. There is Chalitza. There is Tzara, except for one day in the Gemara, according to Tosafot's reading. But there's no Yibum. Also there, it's a transference, meaning she's the Masu Grushaso of the dead husband. What does that have to do with the mother-in-law? Right? The cases of the Mishnah are all cases where she's his daughter... of the Yavam. Right. Because the language of Tuma, that's exactly correct. If you look at the next few lines of the Gemara here, since we had it on Yud Aleph on the days, where we were, I'm just trying to show you cases like this so you'll appreciate how this really works. Maishno, you see the third line down on Yud Aleph on the days? Maishno sota badai mishum d'ksivba Tuma. So to Safek Nami Tumak Sipa. Titanya, where does it say the word Tumma though? So you'll see. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Hamachsu Grushasum and Anasuin. He was married. They got divorced. She married someone else. He remarried her again against the halacha. He's not supposed to do that, but he did it. The Kedushin is Chal. Right? Asura. Minaerisin Muteris. That's his view. We pass in Minaerisin. Mishim Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Achare Asher Hutama. That's exactly it. Right? The Chachamim Omrim, Achazu V'Achazu Asura Elemani Mekayim Achare Hutama L'Rabo Sota Shemistra. It's a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that this Pasuk about Masu Bishoso, which doesn't say a word about Sota, really refers to Sota. How? Then the Gemara discusses whether it only refers to Sota, it doesn't even refer to Maksa Grishanko. That's the continuation of the Gemara. That's going on. If you ask me, but I don't want to, we'll leave it for when we get to it, but I'll just tell you I'll let the secret out now. I think that Maksa Grishanko and Sota are connected. And that's what the Gemara is telling us in a very profound way in the reading of the Psukim. What are they all about? Zilzul Ha'ishas. The common denominator is, it's not just you did an illegal action. What you did was, in both cases, you sullied, right, the Kedusha, the Ishus. Because Ishus is a Davrish of Kedusha. And you have to treat it, you have to cherish it, you have to treat it very, very carefully, with great reverence. And the point is, in both cases, for different reasons, but they're connected. Right? Any betrayal, that's why can't if the husband is forgiving, what's the problem? Right? Forgiveness is a good thing. Right? It's divine. Right? So, what? Why? Because the Ishus has been affected. It's not a personal thing only. That's why I always like to quote the Marik. This is the famous Marik that I've mentioned it many times, I'm sure. The Marik has a tshuva in which they asked him, let's say a husband and wife, say she didn't know that she's not allowed to betray him. Right, she grew up, she thought Kiddushim could be, halachic Kiddushim could be an open marriage. Right? Right? So the Marik came up with a halachic conclusion based on a drasha of a pasuk, which is very unusual. Right? On his own. Umoala, the pasuk says, Umoala bo moal. So the Marik said, it doesn't say Umoal b'Hashem moal. It's a personal betrayal over him. So it doesn't matter what do you mean she thought it was mutter? I mean she didn't have a proper conception of what loyalty and fidelity is. That's not excusable. When do we say omer mutter? I didn't know the law. Right? Lack of knowledge is omer mutter is usually the Gemara discusses it. Is it shogeg? Is it ones? What exactly is omer mutter? Thinking of something. He didn't go to shir that day. So he didn't know that was prohibited. Right? you know, between you and the Rabbanu Shalom, that's fine. But not to know that you can't, that a marriage means, you know, a fidelity, right? That's not an Omer Mutter issue. That's a Marik. It's the same kind of idea, meaning the issues, it's not something, like, you can be very forgiving. It's good to be forgiving. But the issues has been tarnished. That's the point. So the point is, that's a tumma. So the Masu Bushoso... So what Masu Bushoso is the Ramban's line. Ramban, there are two ways to explain it. I just want to get too deeply involved in it. I'll just tell you the Ramban quickly. The Ramban La Torah says, what's the thing about Masu Bushoso? It makes a mockery of Kedushas Ishus, where you're jumping from, you know, in and out of marriage. Right? You were married, and then she married someone else, and then you're going to be married again. Right? It's like using cynically the mechanisms of marriage.
Initiative is Osman's initiative. He wants to take her back.
Well, everybody has. I'm not talking about her. It's not her. It's not her more than him. It's both of them. Sota is one party destroyed the marriage. Yeah, they're both destroying the marriage. But the point is, if there was no intervening marriage, it's how we made a mistake. Right, but this is an intervening marriage, so what is this? You know, basically what it means is you're exploiting the legality of marriage, the sanction of marriage. Basically, you're using that, you know, to hop from relationship to relationship. That's unacceptable. That's a kind of a sota. And the other way to look at it, if you want to look at the other way, the Ramban has this idea too, is... when you say Matzah Gushasa, so what does it mean? You're married, she was married to someone else, and now you're married again. So two ways to look at that. Well, it's a second marriage. Or maybe there's no such thing in Halakha as a second marriage. The only way you can have Matzah Gushasa is to lapse back into the first marriage. But if you've lapsed back into the first marriage, then how do you explain the intervening relationship with some other person? That's a kind of a sota. That's another way to look at it. But I don't want to get too... Okay. Anyway, the point that we're making here is Masik Rishaso, Sota, right, Suffolk Sota, Badai Sota, both. There's no kares in these cases. Right? There's a very fascinating discussion that not the Gemara has. This is a Gaonim and Rishonim discussion, and you can understand why, about a Mumar, Meshumad. Somebody who opts out of the faith. Right? Both in terms of, there are three cases they discuss. Let's say she becomes a mishumedes, right? She abandons faith. The husband, or let's say the yabam, there's one yabam, and he's a mishumed. What impact does this have on the yedidim? So normally the standard view and the normative view is based on the famous tshuva of Rashi, which everybody has heard of. You know, Yisrael Afa Pishachata, Yisrael who, as terrible as shmad, as being a mumar, as opting out of the faith is, a Jew is a Jew, and you can be a terrible Jew, right? We can treat you as a non-Jew with certain things, but when it comes to personal status issues, gittin v'kiddushin, and that includes as well, according to Moshe Shonim, chalitza nibum, Yisrael afi bishachata Yisrael hu, she needs chalitza, and so on. However, there are some gaonim, and some Rishonim would disagree. And it's also some really interesting things. Maybe even the Chalitza is a little bit different. Maybe there's a din of Achba, B'hakim B'achiv Shem, B'Yisrael. It's Kiyeshu Achim Yachtav, implying a certain kind of similar, you know, value system. Right, there's some issues in Yibum. It actually works in very well to other. We'll get back to it because it works in with some of our other themes. What am I trying to explain? So there's a tshuva in the that the Mordechai quotes, of Rabbi Avram Regensburg. See if we can find it very quickly. If you look at the back here in the Mordechai, it's in Shas. If anybody was a Shas Gemara, I'm just going to read you just a couple of lines very, very quickly. It's in Perikachos. Not the Mordechai. The Mordechai is in the back. That has a lot of discussions of this as well, but what I'm talking about now is in what's called the Hagos Mordechai, which is the from back to the Mordechai. Here, if you have, you know, I don't know if we all have the same page, but it's in Perek Acholei, it's Hagos Mordechai. It's Simen Kufches in the Mordechai? Kufches, 108. 108? Everybody have that? Okay, I'll just read you. This is an interesting line. Le'elmatz, and I'm a couple lines down. Le'elmatz hasi tshuva merabeinu Avraham agadol miRegensburg. Regensburg was a city in Germany. You have to understand, as I said before, in the Gemara you don't have so much about Mishumad. I mean, you didn't have so many Mishumadim. Right. But in the medieval period, you know, once you have the, you know, the Crusades, and you have all sorts of other, you know, pressures, so the issue of Mumar and Mishumad becomes a plague. You know, so the Balitosis, the in Germany and France and Spain, and you know, this became a big issue. Unfortunately, that reflects what's going on. How do you deal with Mishumad? So the Elma Tosi Tshuvim Rabbeinu Avraham Agadol miRegensburg, Vizelishon Ayavama Shanafna Lifnei Mumar. The Yavam is a Mumar, right? Ikedvarim Bego, Iboya Fiva Chalitza. Not so clear. Maybe you don't even need Chalitza. This is not the normal. The normal Pesach is after Mishachat Yisrael. Why? Zibemakom Ervahu. The Kanoim Pogimbo, the Gamin of Elislar, my Kanoim Pogimbo. A Kanoim Pogimbo is a din, which we know from the story of Pinchas, right? That Pinchas witnessed this, you know, Chil Hashem, Zimri, that, you know, he was involved with a non Jew, and, you know, without asking any questions, he, you know, he killed him. And that was the Rebbe Shlomo applauded that kind of Kanos. In the case of Pinchas. Wow. Of Avram Miregensburg says that the number one, that Kanoim Pogimbo reflects Erva, not just Chil Hashem, right? That it applies not only when the woman is a non-Jew, but when the man is a non-Jew, and that it applies even with not with non-Jews, but with the Mishumad. Wow. Anyways, the point is that there's a lot of fascinating discussion here about the status of the Mishumad and Ibn Chalitza. So some of the Rishonim ask the question, it's very interesting the way they do it, they ask the question, also in Megillas Mordechai find it, well, there's no Kares, right? There's Tfisas Kiddushin, right? So often everybody agrees that Kiddush of Kiddushin, the Gemara says in Yibam, another Gemara in Yibamos, the Gemara says that if a person is Megayer, he becomes a Ger, right? He does Mila, he does Tila, he's a good, he's Mekabel all mitzvos, and then he slips, he was sincere when he was Megayer. Right? 2 years later, he's Chozo Lesuro. So the Gemara says, well, he's a Yisrael Mumar, because his Gerus was good, and therefore Kiddush of Kiddushin, Gerush, Gerush of Gerushin. Right? So we know the Kiddushin of a Mumar is Chal. So they say, how could this be treated as an Erva? Or as being Mufka Miyibam? I'm just giving you a bunch of examples, right? If it's all about Karis. Oh. So that, when the Gemara here says, what do you need, Aleha? Let's just learn out. Asei do chalosa, not so simple. Moreover, let's assume there are no dafkamina, even though I just showed you there are quite a few. Right? Even conceptually, if we're talking about pressure, counter-pressure, so then we're not sure about certain things. For example, let's say we say, Eina se do chalosa se shish pakaris. And let's say you went ahead and you did it anyway. Let's say you did a mitzvah se, and you violated la shish pakaris. You're not supposed to do that. You're not allowed to do it. But you did it anyway. Do you fulfill the mitzvah se? Not so clear. In the case of Yibum, in other words, would there be Yibum? But if you say that this Exeris HaKasim Aleha, which says, this is not a candidate for Erva, clearly, the Yibum wouldn't be Chal. Do you violate Eishas Ach? Right? Yibum is Doche Eishas Ach. That's what Yibum is, right? So if we say, Eina se Doche Leitza se Shish Bakaris, and you go ahead and you violate, right? You get the Karis for sure, but do you get Karis also for Eishas Ach? Right? If it's because of Aleha, probably you do. What I'm trying to show is the Gemara's question is very problematic because both in terms of cases and in terms of consequences, cases and consequences, whether you say Aleha or whether you say Eina Se Do Chalos Association Makaris is a huge difference. Just to highlight it further, let's look for a minute at Tosas on Gimel Beis. Yeah.
What
Excellent. Presumably not. But the Gemara is only asking, why do we need a pasuk for her? And we'll see in a moment that the Gemara's, one of the views of the Gemara on Rabbah, on Chesam and Aleph, actually ends up saying, you're right, we don't, we need the psukim for Tzara. But I'm going to try to combine both of those things. That's actually where I'm going. So I just want to highlight this one more time before we go to Chesam and Aleph. You know what about it? So, could be connected to those questions. Yes, maybe. But you know that, A, that's a machlokas between, what is it, Rava and Abaya in Tmura, and that there are exceptions according to both views. So it's a good paradigm, but, you know, it has to be used carefully. Okay, now, look at the Tosas Lo Sasa Sheish Bo Karis Bidachi, the bottom Tosas on Gibel Amid Beis. I'm just going to go through part of it quickly, just to highlight the question. Bim Tomar, Tosas asks, Ba'amai Lo Yopinan De Lidchi Me'asei De Ibum De Dachi Lo Sasa De Karis De Shasach. What are we saying here? The Gemara is asking the question, why do you need Aleha? Let's just say, without Aleha, we would have said that what? That you can do Yibum even if you violate Erva, one of the Arayas of the Mishnah. How could that be? It's Asidokal Asayshesh Bakaris. The Tosa says, yeah, but that didn't stop you when it came to Eshesach. Why don't we learn from Eshesach that the Asay of Yibum is Docha even Lo Sasay Sheyesh Bakaris? Right, we keep ignoring Eshesach. Why should we ignore Eshesach? Why can't it be the model? The chitema, lest you say, the hainu hadamin in the command of Zayinim and Aleph, that that's what the Gemara will get to it. Means on later on, the Gemara says, Ella itstrich, sokatai techamini, you might have thought, tesi achos isha, but mamatzinim eshesach, maybe you should derive eshesach, achos isha, meaning the wife's sister should be, you know, based on eshesach, right, the brother's wife. In Cain, Tosas, that can't be. That's not the way to read that Gemara. Hechidochi alami dami, hasam chada yisurachim trei yisur. I think Gemara, Tosas says, cheshbonus, why they don't think that's what the Gemara says. What's Tosas' answer? Look here on Dalet Amud Aleph for a minute. The first of the wide lines. On Dalet, the Tosas. On Dalet Amud Aleph. So Tosas says, the omari, de ne'eshes achla matzi lemeluch bi alma, de lidchi, ase los ase shesh bakares. You cannot use the din of Yibum overturning Eishes Ach as a model to teach you that a mitzvah asay is docha lo sasay sheyesh bakarach. The shiny Eishes Ach the mitzvah sa bakarach. The efshar bin anacher lekayim mitzvah siyum. The imlo kein batalta mitzvah siyum. The difference is that that is the fundamental definition of Yibum. Without, you know, Yibum violating or overturning Eshesach, you've taken out Psukim in the Torah. So we understand, right, that that's not a precedent or a paradigm. The question is, what does Tosis mean here? Tosis means to say, in Achanami, right, there's a problem about Sei Dokalos Sei Sheish Pakares, but Nebuch, there's nothing we can do about it. So it's Docha, it's what we call Dechuya, that's what Tosis means. But it doesn't have to be Docha, other Erevas, because the institution of Yibum can remain intact even if we don't apply it to other Erevas. What does Tosis mean? Should we interpret Tosis as saying? Should we underscore the word or underline the word Mitzvaso? Right? Shaini Eshesach de Mitzvaso Bekach, meaning, it's not just that what can you do, this is the only way to have it, the institution of Yibum is extinct if you don't violate Eshesach. What we're saying is, that is the mitzvah of Yibum, it's Hutra, the Mokom, the mitzvah of Yibum, there is no Eshesach. As we mentioned earlier, the Mechilta and the Sifrei, that Rashi also quotes in Parshas Yisro, right, not only says that Yibum is Doche Eshesach, but says it under the guise of Yibum the Eshes Ach, the Dibur Echad Namru. Just like we say, Zachar v'Shamar, B'dibur Echad Namru, right? The same idea the Medrash uses, what does it mean, B'dibur Echad? It's not literally true, meaning these, the Isser and the Mitzvah, right, are connected. It's not that, oh, unfortunately, you now have a clash between one and the other. Meaning it's a limit in Eishes Ach. Eishes Ach is not also under these conditions. If you recall, I think last week we read it again, the Gemara Daf Nun Dalet on the base, right, says, if you look carefully in Parshas Achrimos, when the Gemara talks about Eishes Ach, when the Torah talks about Eishes Ach, they compare it to Nida. Why do they compare it to Nida? So the Gemara says, because you might have thought that since in cases of Yibum, there's a heter Eishes Ach, maybe Eishes Ach is not really a serious Iser ever. Kamashmila, like Nida, when it applies, when it doesn't. What a remarkable Gemara, though. Right? Why would anybody ever think that because when there are no children, there's a din of Yibum, that somehow that reflects on the Kula of Eishes Ach, even when there are children? The answer is, because Yibum, the Eishes Ach, the Dibur Echad Nehra. Right? It's not just a clash, and when there's a clash, one overrides the other. It's, what is the inner limit of the other? Oh. So what are we going to do with this Gemara? It gets even worse when you look on Chesam and Aleph. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Amar, Erva L'Tzricha Kroi. See the Aleph in the Gemara? It's a little bit, it's like two-thirds of the way down, but you'll see an Aleph in the middle of the line. It's again the Aleph of the Bach. Everybody have that? The first word on the line is Rav. Okay? Rav Amar, this is what happens is, in this parak, you get to Gimel Amud Beis, which is where we are, and then the Gemara has a 3.5 Dapim excursion on Ase Dokalos Ase. Okay? And then on Zion Amud Aleph, the Gemara finally gets back to the question that they asked. Indeed, if there really is a din that Ein Ase Dochalos Ase Sheish Pakares, so why do we need psukim for Yibum of Erva? That's Zayin Amud Aleph. So finally, the Gemara gets to some answers on Chetz Amud Aleph. That's Rava, right here. Rava says, you're right, Erva Lo Tzrichakra, the Ein Ase Dochalos Ase Sheish Pakares. You don't need it because it's covered by the rule in Kol Torah Kula. Why do we need a pasuk? Ki Itzrichakra. We need a pasuk, lemesar tzara. Exactly what you said before. But we're getting, it's not so simple. The Gemara says, Eva lo tzricha kra. Hatani, the Brisa says, Ainli Elahi. It might be limited to her. Her. That's not the tzara. That's not the rival. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum tzarasa. We didn't mean her. We meant her and the tzara. Aiva ktani Ainli Elahain, which is plural. So it's got to be her and the tzara, but also her. So the Gemara says, no, they shouldn't tzara saying. Fine. Then the Gemara has another lima, Tashma. Revi Omer, instead of learning out the din of Erva being excluded from Aleha, it seems like he learns it out from another pasuk, V'lokach v'lokcha v'yiben v'yibma. Lesser tzaros v'arayis. So what do we see? That we need a pasuk to exclude not only tzaros, the co-wives, but even the Erva herself. We're not relying on Einase Dochalos Ase Sheikh Bakaris, right? So the Gemara says, no. Ema Lesar Tsaros Shalarayos. No need Tsara and Erva. Tsaros Shalarayos. That's the Gemara. We'll get back to this Gemara in another time. So the Gemara seems to conclude, Rava, you have to understand, is a very authoritative figure, right? One of the last and most authoritative of the Amorim. Usually we pass him like Rava. Sounds like Rava saying, right? Throw out the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis because we don't need it. Ase Dochalos Ase Sheish Bakares is the reason for Erva. The reason for Aleha or V'lakcha V'yibim V'yibma is only to teach you the din of Tzaros. Ah. But then, all of our Torah is in jeopardy. Right? Not good. So look at the Rambam. In the sheets that we have, two Rambams. One in Perush Mishnayos, and one in Mishnah Torah. Number, this is page, set 3, page 2, number 39. Right, line 39.
Okay. We don't have numbers.
No numbers?
Well, not everyone. If you printed it out, you would have had
to. Okay. Anyways, on the bottom of the page, it's the bottom of the page, the last Rambam on the page. Rambam Gapasibum Khalitza Perik Baba Lakatas? Look at this. Ketza. Yabama Shehi Erba Al Yabama. Right? A Yabama who, in addition to being an Ach, the wife of the brother, has some other illicit relationship status. Kagon Shaisa Achos Ishto. She's also his sister. Two brothers married two sisters. She's also his sister's, his wife's, sorry, sister. O Ima, right? Or her mother, Obita, or her daughter. Harezu Petura Minachalitza Minayibum. Ve'ena Leha Zika Klal. Now, why should that be according to Rabba? Because they not say Dochalosa, say Sheish Bakares, right? And even according to Rebbe, who said Valaka Falaka Biyidma Biyavim Biyidma, according to simple reading of the Gemara, he needed it for tzaros, right? What does the Rambam say? Shanemar, referring to the woman, not her tzaros. Valaka lo leisha biyidma misha rilikuche the kiddushin tovsin ba he sheizkuka liyavim. Against Rambam? Okay, that's good for us, but we still need to explain it. Next, the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah noticed this in the Rambam. Balak chalol isha, the Gemara Parakama, Rebbe Omer, Balak chalolcha, that's what Tzaris Varayos. The Afa Pishasham, says the Magid Mishnah, even though the Gemara there, Halu, that's our Tzaris Varayos, the Gemara says it refers to Tzaros. Varayos gufay lo trichikra. You don't need a pasuk for Varayos themselves. Shein ase do chalos ase, sheish pakaris. Ah, Rabbeinu kosav kipshata braisa. Right? Ukesugin kemaisa. The Rambam ignored that Gemara on Chesed Avim. That seems to be the end of the Gemara, conclusion of the Gemara. And the Gemara, he went back to the earlier idea, Dominan de'erba tzricha kra. The ain't a malu morid. It's nothing to worry about, says the Magid Mishnah. It doesn't matter. Ikar adin, because no one's arguing about these dinim. We're only trying to figure out where you need a limud, where you don't. So since it's all true anyway, right? The Rambam wasn't precise. The dina ever mepura shetzal. So the ha'ara of the Magid Mishnah that it seems to be against Rebbe is a good ha'ara. The explanation that the Rambam wasn't being precise is very hard to accept. That's not something that we normally say about the Rambam.
He's also quoting a different
pasuk. I'm sorry?
He's quoting Rebbe's pasuk.
Okay, that's right, but the Gemara has both. Okay. In Pirshim Shnayis, he quotes Aleha. Even better. Pirshim Shnayis, he has Klolim. Right, Akdim Klalim the Masechta Zu, Yachakach Atka the Perush, says the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah. Here are some Klalim, some rules, and look at Klal number 2. Haklal Hasheni, this is on line 13 for those of you who have it. You know, the privileged, people. I'm one of them. So 6 lines down, actually. Okay, 6 lines down, the third word. Haklal Hasheni in Meis Ha'ach Biniach Isha V'Haisa Osa Isha Asu Alachim. If the candidate for Yibum is somebody who is prohibited, right, to the brother for another reason, al-echad ha'achim ha'mu'amadim l'chalitza li'yibum, or one of the other brothers, in neis ve'iliach achim rabim, there are multiple brothers, kagon shahis ha'isha eshes ha'neis, bas ha'ach hazeh, she's his daughter, bas ha'bas ha'achai, meaning the daughter of the live brother, o achos ishto, or two brothers married to sisters, and she is his wife's sister. Lo yiyadem osa, osa ha'ach, shehi asura alav, bishumerva. Why should it be according to the Gemara? Ase dochalos hasei, vien ase dochalos hasheish pakaris. Not according to the Rambam. Visha amar Hashem, v'isha elach osa lo zikach v'tzor legalos ervasa aleha. The amar yivama yavo aleha. Uki'ilu amar zesh amarti yavo aleha. Right, so he's darshaning the pasuk exactly like the Gemara doesn't give him a day. It's if the pasuk said, right, if it's a prohibited relationship, there's no yibum and there's no tzaros. Ignoring the Gemara, here he says it give him a day. So he says it from Chesed. Not only that, not only Rambam. Okay, Rambam, we know it's sometimes iconoclastic, right? I mean, the Rambam sometimes does things differently. Look at Rashi. Rashi, in a bunch of places, continues to quote the pasuk of Aleha. I have a list somewhere. We have a couple of minutes. Look, we'll go backwards. Look on Chaf Amud Aleph in the Mishnah. The Mishnah here, as you know, repeats the Mishnah Chafam Aleph. We've seen it many times. Begins by repeating, right, the din on that base. Except Klal Omer Biyavama is a rule regarding Yibum. Koshi Yisur Erva. If the candidate for Yibum is one of the Arayos, Lo Choletzus the Lomus Yavemus. Fine. Look at Rashi. Okay, fine. Then the Mishnah goes on and gives some examples. But if it's only lab, right? Isa mitzvah, isa kedusha, chaletzes kolomis yabenes. Look at Rashi in the end, the very end of Rashi. Grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyo. It's one of the examples that's given. She'avar achiv ames v'nosa chalutza grusha. Right? The ukeshames shricha chalitza. Sorry, tosim v'kedushin, the kedushin tosim v'chayvi labin. Av yivume lo sharei asur lo lezeh shehu kohen. If somebody marries a grusha, kohen marries a grusha, he's not allowed to do that, but the condition is tofes. Then he dies, he doesn't leave any children. The brother, who's also a kohen, now faces yibum with not a kares, but a chayvei lavin. Right? So we can't do yibum because that's a lav. Right? The afturei v'lo klum lo, but he can't get away without chalitza. The lo olim lav l'niftarei the alfina me achos isha b'parakama. Because we learn from Achos Isha that only an erva sheyesh bakares is excluded from Yibum and Chalitza. What? Achos Isha? Not according to Rebbe, not according to Rava. Rashi's ignoring the Gemara and Chesam and Aleph and the Gemara and Gimel and Beis. Now look again. So it could be a lapse here and there, you know. But look at Rashi. On.
Yeah, the brother in effect is marrying a grusha.
I'm sorry?
The brother marrying a grusha.
No. Which brother?
The brother who's alive after this whole marriage.
Right. She was a grusha, you mean, to begin with?
From the beginning.
But it's alive. Chayvei lav. That's the part of that's the thing we're discussing. That's why better not to do Yibam. Right? But chalitza, there's no zika. Look on Yud Amud Beis for a minute. Again, I'm not going to go into the whole issue here, but I just want to see the language. There's a Rashi, Dibamatsu, almost in the middle of the page. Chalitza v'yibum ninhu? Everybody see that? Klomar, skukahili yisyabim vein isalav potro min ha-chalitza. Daha me'achos isha yalfinan shehi erba. V'chayavin alzdona kare, silka chlamatsu v'nisna v'masnisim. What does Rashi say? The source of erba being excluded is Achos Isha the Limud. Look again on the one page earlier, Tefsum Adveis. Very long Rashi. We don't need to do the whole Rashi, just the. You see where it gets wide, the wide lines in Rashi?
Yeah.
Three lines on top of that. V'lo zekuka le drachmana patra mine midrashas aleha aleha. You see that? Once again, Rashi says it. Now look at Rashi also on. This is less problem, but it's interesting, the Ritva points it out. On Beisum Adveis. The Gemara said, we read this Gemara already. Mechti kula me'achos isha yalfinan. Don't we learn from achos isha? Isn't that the source of the din of the Mishnah? That's what Gemara says. So Rashi says, mechti kulu arayos masha patru minayibum. What the Gemara meant was that the ervas. Now you don't have to read the Gemara that way. You could have said that the Gemara means the tzaros. So the Ritva on the spot, I thought it produced it here, but I didn't. If you look at the Kiddusha Ritva, the Ritva quotes us Rashi. It says, I don't know why Rashi says Erva here. After all, we're not up to the Gemara and Gimel and Beis yet, where the Gemara says the source is Achos Isha. And by the time you get to Daf Chesam and Aleph and you read Rava, you find out that we don't hold that way. So here, when Rashi says Mechti Kulu, why should he be, you know, linked with the Gemara that's Shalali ben Hilchasa? He should have just said the Tzaros, not the Erva. So the Ritva says, I think it's wrong. I don't think, maybe he didn't mean it. Maybe it's not Dafka, but he meant the Tzaros. There's another Rashi. If you look at Rashi in Sanhedrin, Tafnun Dalet, again, Rashi says that Erva is excluded from Yibum because of Aleha. What's going on? Not just the Rambam now, it's Rashi. So I think that the answer is as follows. I think that the Rambam and Rashi, and maybe a few others as well, we'll just explain this very quickly, and then we'll continue with it next time. I think that they're exactly redeeming, right, all of our analysis of the last few weeks. About how to work it in. What does it mean? What do I mean? they didn't like the idea that when Rava came along, or Rebbe, right, and said, Asa dochalos asesheish bakares, we only need the psukim for tzar. Because they understood too that it's possible that Asa dochalos asesheish bakares will explain why erva is excluded, right? But having a pasuk is important because it puts that exclusion on a different level. As we said, there might be significant nafkamina consequences, and it might affect all sorts of cases. Let's say you have erbas without kares, right? And let's say you violate the din of inase dokalos seishesh bakares, and you go ahead and you do yibum. Is there a reishasach? Have you fulfilled any kind of mitzvah? Do you need a get? There are all sorts of issues. So the way that the Rambam and Rashi read the Gemara of Rava is, and the Gemara in Gimel Beis is as follows. The Gemara is basically saying exactly what we're talking about. The Gemara is saying, listen, just to teach us the din of the Mishnah, it's enough to say, Ase dochalos asevin, ase dochalos seishish bakaris. Once we need the Gzeres HaKasuv to teach us Sara, the fact that Sara is also excluded highlights that the exception of Erba isn't just based on Ase dochalos asei. Why? Because if it were, how would you, that's your question from before, right? How do you explain Sara? Right? My daughter is one of three wives of my brother, my deceased brother. So we understand very well why she can't be a candidate for Yibum. But why are her two co-wives, who are not related to me at all, except in the fact that they're my brother's wives, which is what Yibum is all about, why are they excluded? Beis Shammai doesn't think they're excluded. Why, according to Beis Hillel, should they be excluded? In other words, if the only reason that the Erva is excluded is because of quantitative counterpressure reasons, namely, the mitzvah of Yibum, it runs against a resistant wall or force of Chayvei Krisus. But there's no Chayvei Krisus for the Tzara. How do we explain it? We explain that there's a concept of Zika here in Yibum. Meaning, what's the idea of Zika? It's not that you have a relationship with each of these women to marry them. There's a kukav yomedes. You have to do something for your deceased brother. It's a family obligation, and it applies as a unit to his wives, to his marriage. You have to do something to continue his marriage, to further his legacy, to secure his legacy. That very idea is incompatible with erva in the mix, because that taints by association. One of them is your daughter. Right, that whole, there's no Zika. Because it's not each one individually. Right? It's the unit. And one of the unit is just inappropriate completely. So I think that the way Rashi and Rambam read the Gemara, read Rava, was, if all we were trying to say was Erva in Achanami, the fact that Erva includes Tzara, that reshapes, that reformulates the way that we look at Erva as well. So once Tzara is derived from Aleha, or right, that has repercussions, conceptual repercussions, and practical halakhic repercussions on erva. And then we say that's also based on aleha, and that's why you can have cases of erva bli kares, like sota and masa grushaso, and maybe mishumad and Rabbi Akiva. All of those cases. Okay, we'll continue with this and move forward next week.